Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not so new, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad that you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I'd like to start by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very happy to have singer-songwriter Liz Kennedy with us on the podcast today. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Great to be here.
You have an interesting path to music because that's not where you started out. You studied journalism, communications, and anthropology. And then you were in the film business and you made TV commercials. How did you go from that to music?
Well, I always, since I was 12, wanted to be a songwriter. I always played the piano and the guitar. And I just thought I wasn't good enough to make it my profession. So I was always, no matter what I was doing, writing music. And I wasn't always writing the lyrics. I was just writing the music, and I was waiting for my Oscar Hammerstein to show up. And I finally said, well, heck, I'm going to start writing the lyrics. That was after I had kids. I'm in my 40s. And so I was always writing. I just wasn't doing it as a profession. It was always my passion. And I always wanted to write a great song. And each time I'd write a song, I'd say, keep going, keep going, keep going. I've written 93, I think.
Wow.
About 60 of them are out there, to about 65 are released.
Was there any particular catalyst that made you decide to go ahead and get that first album out there?
Well, I think the catalyst to finally start writing the words and to get some finished songs was, to be quite truthful, loss and divorce and harder times, more to say, more world in my world. And then to release, I mean, it took a lot of time. I really never played for anybody, ever. And I had so many songs logged into my brain that I finally went to a recording studio to just get them out and record them, just to not have to remember them all. And I met the gentleman that is my producer now and also plays on a great guitar. And so that was the beginning of somebody taking an interest and making me feel like I might have written some songs that have some value.
And now, 10 or so years later, you've got 5 albums out there.
More years. I think I released my first, I don't know. I think I was in my 50s. I'm 71, so I really started late, and that's, I don't recommend that. I recommend that people glom on to what they really love with passion and to get at it a little sooner than I did.
But how inspirational for somebody who's listening to this, who wonders if it's too late for them when they hear that you finally, you had this as something that you wanted to do and you finally went ahead and did it. And now you've got 5 albums out there. I would think anybody listening to this who's thinking or wondering if it's too late or if they should do this, I think that you certainly have something to say to them because you've done it.
I thank you for asking that question, because I think there are a lot of people that are inside themselves and want so much to have a passion. If they see other people who have something that occupies them and that gives them the kind of spirit for life and creativity. I think that they don't realize what they do have in them. I don't think there's hardly anybody that doesn't have something that gives them real joy to do, but they maybe minimize it and don't think it's that great. So I think everyone, almost everyone, has something creative they can do. And the peace and joy that you can get inside for creating something that's yours is enormous. I have so many friends that slowly are realizing that maybe being a great baker, being, you know, working in their garden, whatever it is, but really honoring your talent in it and not saying, oh, I just grow roses, or, oh, I just, you know, bake the best chocolate pie in the world. That it's so important to your life that you have something you yourself admire.
And it has to be gratifying.
I try very hard to not be hard on myself, because I'll hear other music and go, gosh, I haven't written something that good. And that's what everybody does to themselves. I'm not good enough. And I still feel that way, but I'm still doing it. And I have my 6th album is about to come out. I'm performing on the 14th somewhere. I'm scared. I never really meant to perform. I really wanted to just write music, but, you know, I haven't sold all my work to somebody else. But I'm still doing it. And I'm trying to be able to say I'm good at it. Every once in a while, I'll say, you know, oh, I'll say as a joke to the band, I'll go, we'll just finish rehearsing a song. And I'll say, God, that was good. Who wrote that? Me. So every once in a while, maybe it's the self-doubt that leads you somewhere. So grasp the self-doubt and find the passion and the joy if you can.
I think the trick is recognizing the self-doubt, but then doing it anyway. I think that's really the trick or the key.
Right. Because I don't think there's anybody out there that's good at something that doesn't have self-doubt.
Right. Well, it must be gratifying to have legendary bluesman Taj Mahal on one of your songs and saying nice things about you. That's gotta be a bit of a boost.
That was a dream. I'm trying to decide which song on this latest album I'm going to get him over here again if I can. He was really so charming, really made me feel good about the song. And not just the music, what I was saying in the song. So I had this feeling that he said yes, because he liked it. And he was my idol in my 20s. I mean, that long ago. I have all his LPs here, not too far away. So to have him over here, he did it at my house I record in. And he told the greatest stories. And I think his story is strong. So read about Taj Mahal, because he has a lot of great things to say about the world.
That has to be a quite a boost to have that connection, and somebody like Taj Mahal, who really, people bandy about the word legend, but really Taj Mahal is a legend.
Yeah. I also would say, you know, I'm a decent musician. I think what it was is I didn't think I was a good piano player. But I actually have my own style on the piano, but I could never do what some people do. And when I finally went into the studio that first time, at some point I played with other musicians for the first time in my life. I think it was in my 50s. It could have been my late 40s. And I was sobbing because the idea of being collaborative. And I'm so lucky. I have great band members and I've played with some great people. That is phenomenal too. So if you can spread the joy, you know, do it with other people, find other people that you can create with or join in the fun. That made a huge difference to me, to be out of my little room where the door was closed. I mean, I'm an outgoing person on all the other things, but I wasn't about music. Music, I was like scared. Oh, they're not going to like it, or it's not good enough.
We should probably talk about Christmas and Christmas music.
Do I like Christmas? Christmas, I think, has tuckered me out over the years of being a mother and a grandmother. because I gave great gifts, and I really tried very hard to always get the right gift, and I was known for great toys. I personally love toys. So I think sometimes the fun of Christmas was lost on me because I was working so hard. But if I were to take all of those things away, which I try every year, I say, I'm not giving any more gifts. I'm just going to enjoy Christmas. My daughter laughs at that because she knows I'm going to keep trying really hard to give the perfect gift to everybody. But I think Christmas is wonderful. For me, getting together with family is great. I know for some people, getting together with family isn't always so easy. But everybody still tries and wants it to do well, wants a great Christmas. I certainly do. So I do love Christmas, and I love Christmas songs. I especially love the old Christmas carols. I think like the chord pattern of Silent Night, it's a perfect song. It's so simple, but breathtaking. So I do sway to the music in the stores, and it does put me in a lovely mood. So it was suggested that I write a Christmas song, and I thought, oh gosh, I don't know. I'm not crazy about new Christmas songs always. I tend to like the old ones. So I thought, no, I don't think I can write a Christmas song. But I started writing a love song about the magic of falling in love at first sight. And I thought, I will make this party where I fall in love with somebody, or the character in the song does. Actually, it was me, my future husband. The magic of love is just like the magic of Christmas. So I made the party a Christmas party. And I loved writing this song. I wrote it on the guitar, but it's turned into quite a piano piece too. I called it Snowman Moon, or A Christmas Crime, because I was playing with, I was taken by you, sort of kidnapped by love. So taken by you and the snowman moon. So the romance of a party, the romance of Christmas, a Christmas party, and seeing someone that you the magic of seeing someone for the first time that you just go, whoa, magic. I think I'm in love. And that's kind of when the Christmas season comes, you give Christmas a break that, it's not about Santa or anything. It's about some magical aspect of Christmas that we all want to believe in. So I went ahead and I did write a Christmas song, and I'm really glad that I did. And I like this song. There's only one real lie in the song. It's actually a kind of a true story. I say in it, the address I knew and the dress I wore brand new. And any friend of mine that hears this song just is startled, because I don't own a single dress, and I am a tomboy over and over, and I have no dresses. So every time I hear that line, I go, gosh, Liz, I do like Christmas. I like how everybody says Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, because it's a time in the world where you can say something very positive to a complete stranger. And that's a pretty nice thing. So I'm going to try not to buy a bunch of toys, give back to the world, enjoy the Christmas spirit and the magic of Christmas and the magic of love.
Snowman is your first Christmas song, your only Christmas song so far. And I noticed some interesting numbers. Snowman is your second most streamed song on Spotify and your fourth most viewed song on YouTube. I don't even know if you were aware of that.
No.
It's your second most streamed song on Spotify, and it's close. It's only a couple thousand streams away from being your most streamed song. So that makes me wonder if maybe some more Christmas music might be a good idea. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe I'll think about that. My Christmas album.
Yeah. I mean, I know numbers aren't everything, and that's not really a good reason to make a Christmas album, because people like that, I'm gonna make it. Because when as an artist, if you start trying to make your art for what people like rather than what you do, it's a hard sell. And it takes the love out of it.
You can't do it. You're absolutely right. You have to write for yourself. And I think I don't use the social media like I should. I don't promote songs, but maybe the song did appeal in a way. I tried to make it a little bit of a rootsy Christmas song. I tried to put it in my style that I was comfortable with. And maybe I can do that again. I don't know. I haven't thought about writing another Christmas song, but can I? I think I'm going to hit the boards on that.
You know, people love to pigeonhole singers and musicians in that you have to be in this genre or that genre or whatever. I know that you have been described as Bonnie Raitt, that Taj Mahal likened you to a female Leonard Cohen. I think there was an LA publication that said you were like a mix of Janis Joplin and Melissa Etheridge. And everybody wants to do that. But I feel like in listening to your music, I feel like you have your own, it's your own style. It's your own thing. You're Liz Kennedy. You're not these other people, maybe influenced by some. But I think trying to put you in any particular box is a mistake. And I think that's easy with Christmas music because it's its own thing. So, okay, it's a Christmas song. It goes here. But then you've got, you know, Hello Romance. One of your songs, Hello Romance. Okay, where does that go? And it's not all, it doesn't all go in the same place.
Would you please invent what that category is? It's a catch-all, but I don't know, because a lot of times I'm accused of doing things that are almost like a Broadway tune. I'd love to do a Broadway show. And then it's kind of Western, then it's blues. And yeah, so, you know, a lot of music was going on in my formative years. I went from my father listening to Frank Sinatra. Then I went to Bob Dylan, all within the same formative brain, you know, so you love it all. Louis Prima and, you know, folk music in my teens, and then on to rock and roll. So it's really the brains, what appeals to this brain comes out, and a lot of different music appeals to me.
Well,
but if
I
you
think...
could come up with my category, I would love that.
I think
everybody wants to say Americana. I go, well, not jazz. I go, no, you can't say that. But, you know, and I don't want to be, the last thing I want to be is like, what's it called? Lounge, you know, or standards. I don't do standards, but I've written some songs that are kind of standard-like. So I don't know.
That's one of the things that I really love about Christmas music is that you have all the genres that you've been mentioning are all in there, and somebody can put out an album and it's a Christmas album, but they have a version of a Frank Sinatra Christmas song, and then they have a Chuck Berry Christmas song, and then they have something original that they've done, and they have a real screaming rocker, and they have and that's all okay. But if you do that record and it's not a Christmas record, nobody knows what to do with you, and they treat you like you're, I don't know, like it's some kind of anomaly. And the truth is, people like all those kinds of music. People don't like just one thing.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you do a playlist, everybody wants to go from one sound to another. You never want it to be in the same key or the same beat or the same, you know, you want to go from one thing to something else. So, yeah, I have high regard for Christmas music and for people that do it. And doing a cover song and making it your own, that's one thing I'm starting to do for the first time in my life. I'm at my next performance. I'm doing a cover of "Don't Think Twice, It's All Right" on the piano, and I think I made it my own, and that's the first time. But that just goes to my. I never did covers because I thought that would make people think that I think I have a good voice or am a good musician, or I had a really weird thing about doing a cover. I don't know what it is, but now I'm really proud because I made it my own. Whatever that, as you know, we don't know what what I am, but it does sound kind of Liz Kennedy-like. And people also think it's interesting, and I do too myself, that I never wrote lyrics until later. And I think it's my lyrics that people seem to like a lot. And the fact that I only was writing music for a long time and never even attempted lyrics.
You know, I think it's all evolving. If you look at the music landscape 70 years ago in the 50s, there was pop and there was R&B and there was jazz and there was country, and that's about it. Maybe classics or classical or something like that, but that was really about it. And every few years there's a split in one of those genres and there's other things that come out of it, and it's more and more. And now you have Americana and you have folk and you have new country and classic country and classic rock, and it just goes
fusions, like Cuban, you know.
Yeah. And it just goes on and on and on. And I think there's just going to be a point where there just are either an infinite number of genres or none, and it's just music. And I think either of those is okay.
Yeah, it's a kind of one of those infinity looking in the mirror. It's all just constantly going. And
yeah,
and what they always say, you know, nothing's new.
Right.
Everything's been written before. So I don't know. So we all just have to really be true to ourselves and not copy. But you can't stop being influenced, but you have to be authentic.
Yeah. And that's another trick. That's another trick to be able to do that, because copying is so easy. It's so easy and people like it. And there's a comfort level with hearing something that you know. So if the band that you've never heard of before is on stage in the club, but they're playing all your favorite 80s hits, you like that. That's fine. They play something you don't know and you're out of your comfort level a little bit. So there is comfort there.
Well, I have fear of, and I've thought about it a lot. I really try and make myself listen to new music and not get kind of, oh, I didn't write that. Oh, that sounds so good. I haven't written something that good. I mean, I don't always do that. Sometimes I listen, I go, oh, I could write something better than that. So it's across the board, but you do, if you expand and you open yourself to the joy of music and you listen to new music, you can take something and make it your own. You can go, wow, I really like that. And then you don't copy it, but it gets absorbed in a nice personal way.
Yeah. You get influenced. You like, I really like the way they did this, with this kind of chord progression, or they did a bridge here, which you don't usually do, or they repeated the chorus an extra time. That was really effective. I like that. I'm going to try to do something like that.
Well, the structure of songs, that's what I love. That 12 Broadway musicals, learning about bridges and verses and what has a chorus. And the old music didn't have choruses. They only had bridges, and it just, that I love. Just, how did he do that? How did they do it? How did she do that? All the music, I love the structure of song.
And that's something too that has certainly evolved over the years. You look at Christmas songs from the 40s and 50s, and they're not 2 minutes long. A minute and a half, a minute and 6 seconds. You know, everybody talks about putting on the Nat King Cole records at Christmas time. And I love Nat King Cole, but like Deck the Halls is about a minute. And you look
three,
at,
you think it's got to be three at least.
Yeah. But then you look at songs that are out today, and there will be Christmas records that are 4, 5, 6 minutes long. And it doesn't seem, the good ones don't seem that they're ridiculously long. It's just that things have evolved to that point. Yeah. And
well, I'm always thinking, I'll have too many verses. I'm always scared to see, okay, how long was that song I just recorded? And they'll go five something. I go, oh God, it's too long. I go, okay, what verses do I have to cut out?
Yeah.
And sometimes I say, keep all of the verses in.
I know I had mentioned Leonard Cohen earlier. I know in his classic Hallelujah song, he allegedly had written 80 verses. And there are people who, I mean, he's gone now, but there are people who wish that he would have recorded one giant version of Hallelujah with all 80 verses.
I'd listen.
Oh yeah, I would too. I would love to hear it. I hope that it gets published one day so you could at least see what he did. And if it does get published, I'm sure that means that someone will try and record it. It won't be him, but it would be nice to hear. But it's some of that, it's that kind of confidence that you have to figure out where you are with it that allows you to do that kind of thing. And it's tricky. You had mentioned that there's new music on the way.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I don't know when it'll be out, but I'm preparing now for the first performance since COVID. So we were pretty rusty. We're putting oil in all our, but it's coming together really nicely. And I'm playing at one of my favorite venues, Sweetwater in Mill Valley. And so we were recording and then we decided to perform. So I kind of put a few things aside, although we're performing some of the new pieces. So I'm not done yet. Not done. I've got a lot of material and I'm looking forward to it. I feel really good about it.
So what's the best way for people to keep up with you? You said that you don't do a whole lot of social media. Is it the website? Is your website the best place?
My website or Spotify. I have all five albums are, you can listen to all of, I think it's all five albums on Apple Music or Spotify. I don't know. I'm not very well versed on it. I know if you say to Siri, play something by the such and such by Liz Kennedy or play Liz Kennedy, some things will come up. But if you really look at Apple Music, all of the songs are there on the albums. I should know. Steve Belkin works with me and he's been great. And I'm just sort of, it's not that I'm old and can't do it or that I refuse to do it. It's just, I find it embarrassing to tout your own stuff or to, I don't know.
It is tough.
I'm just not very good at it.
It is tough to walk that line of blowing your own horn without feeling like you're being just egotistical. And
I know. So I have somebody else do it for me, but then I feel sorry for him because as soon as he does it, I say, well, I wouldn't have said that, or that's not the way I want to do it. I mean, he's great. He's fabulous, but no, we can't really be me. So he tries to get me to do it and then I do it. So you don't have to use this, but he promoted Snowman Moon and and he's the one that asked me to do a Christmas song. I never would have done it if he hadn't, goaded me, quite frankly. So I need goading.
I think everybody does to a degree. It's hard to, it's hard to, even when you've got somebody like Taj Mahal on your side, it's still got to be tough to be able to go, okay, what am I doing here? Who am I kidding?
Especially at the age.
Yeah.
So what?
Right.
What else are you, I can still do it. I'm I never really wanted to perform, but it actually is okay with me. I don't get nervous. I just do it. I mean, I'm kind of nervous. I hope it goes well. It's more like the venues make me nervous. I don't have a great voice. I don't have a kind of voice that, it's not a beautiful voice. And sometimes I do best when I sing kind of intimately. So I had a friend come up after a performance and say, I loved the concert, but I didn't hear a word you sang, or I lost the last word of every line, or something like that. And you just go, oh gosh, yeah, that's my fault. But anyway.
But that's something that will work itself out. I had talked about the numbers before, and you can't live and die by the numbers, but you can see that tens of thousands of people have watched the videos and listened to the songs. And that,
I didn't
and
really you, even know that.
And that's that's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, this is not just my mom listening to my radio station. This is a whole lot of people who are listening. And
it's great.
Okay, maybe I'm not the second coming of Elvis, but yeah. People like what you're doing.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ken.
You're welcome.
That'll make my day. Then I'll
Well, good.
I'll hold my head up.
Yeah, you should. Absolutely, you should. Okay. Well, it has been so much fun talking to you. And again, if you want to find out more about Liz and her music and where she's going to show up next and when the next music's coming out and all that kind of stuff, LizKennedyMusic.com is the website. So check it out.
And I do have a Facebook page. So I am on Facebook.
Yeah. In fact, when you go to her website, there are links to her social media and to YouTube and to Spotify. So that's kind of like the hub. So you go to her website and then you can go to those other places too.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Liz.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening to this now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And again, the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.